hopefully, when the snow is all melted and the sun gets warmer and warmer, we will be able to go on vacation again. I don't know about your vacation plans for this year. Looks like there is no travel into far distant countries, but at least we can go to the Rockies. And we can go camping and we can go hiking. Me being a city slicker, you know, I grew up in Germany and I grew up in a city and I was not familiar with all the outdoor world. When I went to Canada and visited my future wife, then we went camping. And as we were camping out there in the woods somewhere in the northern part of Ontario, my in-laws reminded me of the fact we have to be very careful with our garbage. I said, well, that's sure. We don't want to have it stinking anywhere. So, no, they mean you have to put it in those bins that were specifically made for that. And that's because of bears. Wow. That was a new concept. I had no idea about bears in the wilderness. Well, I knew about them, but wow, that they're so real that you can live with them. So as we are and as we were there in the wilderness, yes, we were even able to see some bears running there, at least far in the distance. Actually, it was last fall. We were at my son's wedding out here in the mountains, just with our family, and lo and behold, one morning we woke up and I look outside and about 10 feet away I saw a black bear munching on some berries right then and there. And I said, oh, that's fun, because all of our meals and our gatherings were at the large cabin, which was about half a mile away. It was quite a walk. So you can imagine how we walked to that cabin. Many chose to drive because of the presence of a bear, and the owner of this whole property said, this is very normal at this time of the year, that bears will come and feed on the certain berries that were on the tree there. So what about all these bears and all the stories about that? Let's first of all read the story and read the text that we're talking about today. As you know, we go through make our way through 1 Peter, and we're almost at the end. There's 2 Sundays left today and next Sunday, and then we are right into the Easter season. But here's our text for today, 1 Peter 5, 8-11, and I'll read again out of the New Testament for everyone. It says, stay in control of yourselves. Stay awake. Your enemy, the devil, is stalking around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, staying resolute in your faith and knowing that other family members in the rest of the world are facing identical sufferings. Then, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you in the Messiah Jesus to the glory of his new age, will himself put you in good order and will establish and strengthen you and set you on a firm foundation. To him be the power forever. Amen. So Peter is writing to Christ followers, we have heard it now numerous times, who are facing harassment and from friends and family and neighbors and sometimes even government officials. Some commentators think it is not the full-blown persecution that was happening a little bit later, but at least they were most likely living under Nero. And we all know about Nero and his antics that he had, especially against Christians. And Peter reminds his listeners now to look past those people who bother them. And I think this is one of the very simple messages that is often missed when we are facing difficulties from other people. We get very personal very easily, and then it comes to a back and forth, and we try to, you know, justify ourselves, and then get even with another person. But what Peter does in this text is helping us to look beyond that and saying to us, there is a bigger force at work behind all the threats of people. And this is what he calls here the devil. So let us look into this text and try to draw some of the truth out of this that will help us to to thrive even when we are under attack. First of all, the enemy is on the loose. An enemy is on the loose. And first of all, it has to do about acknowledging that there is an enemy, that the enemy is bigger than the people that are against me. So in those days, when they faced their family and their friends harassing them about their faith in Jesus Christ, it was easy then to turn against them and to defend yourself, as I said before. But there is, and that's what Peter is trying to remind us, there is the presence of the enemy. He is hiding behind the people, sometimes behind circumstances, and he compares them to a roaring lion. Many think that has an allusion to the fact that Nero was using lions, you know, to chase them against Christians in the Colosseum when they were making a spectacle out of killing Christians. But nevertheless, here the devil is like a roaring lion who is prowling around looking for who he can devour. And usually what is behind all this is that this is not so much it's an allusion to a picture, but not something that we should imagine the devil to be like that. In fact, it is more like something that happens in our minds, in our hearts. The devil itself, well, the word that is used, it means actually slander, somebody who slanders you. But it was only not too long at the time of Peter when he wrote this text that the Jewish community was thinking of the devil in terms of a person. It wasn't all that new. It wasn't like from all the beginning. It was just in those days that these theories becoming, or these theologies or demonologies became more prevalent, that they were thinking of not just a force, but somebody who had dominion, somebody who had strength. And it was only 200 years before that this became more and more circulated among the Jewish community out of which Peter was writing. He was a Jew. So he talks about this, that there is this kind of force that is at work, that is behind sometimes of actions that we face through people or through circumstances. And there are usually two reactions how we deal with this. Two extremes and any time in between. One is to overestimate now the power of this evil one, and the other one is to underestimate the power of this evil force or the devil. C.S. Lewis has written about this, by the way. If you're a fan of reading C.S. Lewis, he wrote, it's a book that he wrote, but it comes out of a radio address that he gave on a weekly basis, Screwtape Letters, where a devil writes to an underdevil and gives this devil instructions how to tempt Christians. If you have time and can pick up the book, worthwhile reading. So we need to know, first of all, that there is an enemy prowling around. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that's reality. You all of a sudden face a position. And it will come to you in different forms where you might not right away identify this as the source of the evil powers that are there, but you face it in people or in circumstances. And then Peter informs us the intentions that these evil forces and the devil has. He says he's your enemy. The word, again, that he used is interesting. It's the opponent in the lawsuit who accuses you, who brings accusation against you. And he has certainly an agenda, and he makes it very clear. He prowls around to look who he can devour. He was the one, as according to Peter, who stirred up sufferings, persecutions, in order to destroy and undermine the faith of the early Christians. And that was his job from the beginning. Satan was always introduced to us as somebody who destroys our natural trust in God. At the very beginning of the Bible, in those stories of Adam and Eve, the devil showed up, and what did he do? Should God have said, did he really say that? And so Eve, and then Peter, later Adam would start thinking about this. So he was successful in what it was all about, is to bring people into the position where they doubt the goodness of God, whether God has really good intentions with us. The same, you can read it over and over. Another story, big story in the Bible is Job. No, where also there is this story that's told where Job suffers tremendously. And at the beginning of the book, you're introduced to that scene in the invisible world where the devil comes to God and he challenges God and says, you know what, this Job, he only serves you because you bless him. Take your blessing away and we'll curse you. It's an interesting proposition, if you think about that. And I had to think when I read this book, or read or studied this book, how much is that true of myself? You know, is it really so that I serve God because of what I can get out of it? That he blesses me, and if he doesn't bless me, then I, you know, say goodbye? Interesting. Ask yourself. So that's the whole thing about the book. So again, the devil is here showing up, you know, doubting the faith and the trust of Job. Christ followers, he is also Christ follower, working with Christ for you and me, and it's interested that you lose your faith in God. That's his main objective, that you lose your faith in God, that he sows trust, distrust in you, and that he tries to get you to a place where your faith is in shambles. Remember, Jesus even faced the enemy right at the beginning of his ministry. And what was his job there? His job there, his temptation was that Jesus was taking matters into his own hands. Now he came before him and said, if you are the Son of God, then, in other words, show me. Give proof to that. And Jesus resisted three times in three different occasions this temptation and says, I will remain under my Father's hand and I will live in dependence of him as all my followers in the future will do. They will live under the leadership and guidance of my Father in heaven. And I will not be pulled out of that and take matters into my own hands. By the way, does it remind you of something? First book of the Bible, taking things in their own hands. Well, there is it's no accident that this all works together. Our faith, your and my faith, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, will be under attack. And if you have lived as a Christian long enough, you will know what I'm talking about. There will be moments when your faith is shaken to the core. When your trust in God is shaken. When you just feel like being left alone and abandoned. And hear me right, everything has its good purpose. Sometimes in our faith, we also need to be shaken because some of our assumptions that we have about God are simply wrong. And it's good that we shake them off and we get a better picture of who God really is, because some of the stuff that we were taught might not be the way how God truly is. But on the other hand, we also feel that we are sometimes under those moments when things pile up. Have you had those moments? You know, when it rains, it pours. You know, those things when one thing happens after another and you feel like, so, wait a minute here, that's enough. It's helpful to see that there is the devil at work. And what's his purpose? He wants to destroy you. He wants to undermine your faith in God, have doubts in who God really is. However, you are allowed to have questions. And I want to bring it up here because sometimes I hear those extreme positions, oh, if you have doubts in God, then you know it's going to be dangerous. No, 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 no. I think you are allowed to have doubts. You know, God is big enough if we come through phases when we truly doubt God. And it's often a process in which we are in right then that helps us to clearly and see God more clearly. God will not leave you. God will not drop you when you have doubts. God is not threatened by our doubts, even by our questions that we have about him. And I often challenge people to do that. That you challenge your question, your doubt in God. If God is God, then he must be able to be bigger than that. Than my questions and my doubts. So I'm not talking about those times. I'm talking about times when I'm truly under attack. when I feel like this comes from nowhere. And sometimes it really feels that way. It comes out of nowhere. And sometimes it's even this, as subtle as you wake up in the morning and you feel like off. Has it happened to you? Out of nowhere, no reason, no stress, no nothing happening. But you wake up and you say, oh man, I'm off today. I'm just don't feel right. The joy is gone. I'm depressed. So where does this come from? And how do we deal with it? So as we are under attack, and as they come from different angles, people might be mad at you, they might attack you, they might have stuff against you and spread false information about you. It might be internally that you just feel off, that you feel depressed. And as you may have even experienced this during this last year. I mean, nevertheless, we were reminded this last week that it's a year that we have been through this. How has it affected you? How has your emotional life been affected by that? Was that sometimes an attack on you? Do you feel like that? So what do? First thing that Peter gives us, stay calm and alert. Stay calm and alert. Coming back to illustration, hiking in the mountains. You can have at least two postures when knowing the presence of bears, or even more frightening to me is cougars, you know, those that you don't see, you know, they really stalk you from somewhere. So there's two postures that you can have, and again, anything in between. One is to totally freak out. You know, totally freaked out. Wow, there's bears here, there's mountain lions here, dangerous world out there. I don't know whether I can take a step out of into this nature because they might attack me at any moment. And then you see behind every rustling bush and every little thing that moves, you see a mountain lion or a bear. Well, I would agree that would be an entirely stressful walk if you want to hike like that, because you're pierced everywhere and you are internally stressed. You know, this is also a posture that people sometimes take in their Christian life. You know, when they see behind everything that moves, the devil. You know, behind everything, there is a devil lurking behind you, and he will get you, and today is a dangerous day. You might not go out of the door. There might be a devil who tries to attack you, and you live in constant fear. By the way, it's interesting, especially this last year, as I've been confronted with different opinions from all kinds of backgrounds. This kind of attitude is also the breeding ground for conspiracy theories. Ever thought about that? They have been out there, by the way, as long as there's a devil. There have been conspiracy theories. Oh, everything is, you know, a big thing. The evil is working, and it's working the way around. And by the way, I had to think about this. Conspiracy theories is this whole thing of, well, there's a whole power at work. You know, we're almost helplessly exposed to that. Where does it come from? Remember what the devil did at the very beginning? Should God have said, oh, God might not be as good as he said he is. God might not be as powerful as he said he is. So there's fear. There's fear seated and put into the place of our hearts and our minds. Even if we do not deny that there is certainly powers out there that want to destroy us. I often ask those, especially when you're a Christian, do you not believe that this is my Father's world? Don't you sing this song? And if you sing it, do you mean it? This is my Father's world. Here it is. And to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. Conspiracy theories? No, it testifies to my Father, this whole world. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees and skies and seas. His hand, the wonders wrought. And then there is a little thing in the second verse that I thought very interesting. It says there at the end, he shines in the rustling grass, I see him pass. No fear if there's rustling grass that there's a lion behind it. But the Father is there in this world, and he holds this in your hand. So the one posture of totally freaking out and seeing the devil everywhere is not helpful. It is actually not biblical. By the way, if you study the life of Jesus, did Jesus live that way? Do you envision him to live fearfully? Oh, I'm not sure about what happened today. Maybe there's another attack. Or did you see Jesus confident?
confidently living through all the diverse attacks that he experienced. So conspiracy theory and fear-mongering is not the stuff of the Bible. Please, focus on what God says in his word. And I say it again, focus on what God says in his word, not what good authors say. Look at this. So what does Peter suggest? He said, be self-controlled or alert. Be self-controlled or alert. That means be confident. Self-controlled. I could use it. Pull yourself together. You know, don't let this fear ride through you and determine your life and get a fearful outlook of life. Do not lose it. Do not freak out. Have a grip on yourself. That's what he says in the first words. What does create fear is the unknown. You know, not knowing what's going to happen. And yes, it's a source of fear. But it says you can be in control. You can be in control of yourself. You cannot control the circumstances, but you can be in control of your inner being. You are not helplessly exposed to the things around you. You can take care of that. And he says, and be alert. As much as we should live carefree, we should not live careless. Carefree is one thing, but carelessness is another thing. So you need to be alert, you need to be focused, you need to shake off those intentions and those things of fear that might creep up in you. Just be alert and be aware that there's an enemy around. As you prepare when you go for a hike, knowing that these animals are there makes you be prepared. You might take bear spray along if you go into the woods somewhere in the backcountry. And you might be learning some techniques, what to do if you are attacked. So there are some ways how you can prepare. And that leads me to the next thought that Peter says, you can resist. You can resist. And that's the message that he says, resist him. So when the lion prowls around and if he attacks you, it says you can resist. It says you resist. You have the power. See, it's also against the notion of some Christian way of approaching things. Oh, I just put everything in the hand of God, and God will take care of me. Yeah, that's good. But you know, God has not or will not motivate you to sit on your couch. God motivates you in face of danger and in face of attack to get up and resist. That's a word of action. You need active, you take an active role in a time of attack. And maybe that's one of the things you need to take away from this already. If you are under attack and you feel under attack, wherever that comes from, yes, prayer is good, but you also are called to resist. What would you do if you hike in the mountains with the confidence that if you are attacked by a bear or mountain lion, you are not automatically dead meat? What if you have that knowledge and confidence? Would that change your walk and your hike quite a bit? I would think so. If you have the confidence that what you have and what you know, you will be able to fend it off. Now, Peter does exactly that. He gives you or encourages you to fight against the enemy. Now, listen. He does not say to fight against the people who attack you. See, that's what often goes wrong, especially in our days today when we have social media. You know, where also that's a forum where you will also be sometimes under unpleasant attack, where people defame you, people, you know, spread false things about you, and they say all this, and you become now very vicious and pay back, you know, and the mean thing goes back. And say the mean things back, and you get into an endless battle and fight, and you defriend your friends, and all this kind of stuff that goes on. Listen, wrong. Peter says here one thing: if you are under attack, that doesn't make it good. But look beyond. Never forget that those people who attack you are eternally loved by God, your Father, who cares for them deeply, who will not condone what they do, but he loves them. And our response has to draw that line or ride on that line that we also show respect to those, even if they're mean to me. And that's, again, over these past several months, something that I found very interesting, how we as Christians have not lived up to that. How I've sometimes read, you know, how they speak about government officials in very derogative terms and forms. Friends, these are people that are loved by God. They are honored by God. They are, God died for them, and they could potentially be your brother and your sister in Christ, but you write and get torn down into this. So Peter says, resist who? The devil. Resist him by staying resolute in your faith. So my confidence comes from the fact that I trust in God. My faith, best translated here, is trust. That I trust that I am in His hands, that I'm walking in His hands, that God knows me. Even the text that we had last week, remember, or was it last week, when it talks about not to worry, but to bring all the worries to Him. You know the context? Pastor Sid pointed out, when you are overlooked, maybe as a potential candidate for an elder, when you're still young, read the text. And it says, we should now move forward by putting all our worries on Him. Let God do His timing work on you, that He will vindicate you at some point of time. So don't waver in your faith. As you are under attack, as people get mean to you, as you feel inside worry and fear and anxiety creeping up, stand your ground. How? In faith. In faith. Trust that what God has provided you will be working. Going back to the story, when you go back into the words and you have bear spray with you, you have to have some trust that it works. Otherwise, it would be also very hazardous if you do that. So you have some trust that it works. So Peter says, while danger is looming even under persecution and mockery, don't waver in your trust in God. Resist those who mistreat you by standing firm in your faith. And your muscle needs exercise of our faith. And that comes in those strange times when you are under attack. Faith, where does it come from? Faith comes from hearing God, of spending time with Him. That's how trust is built. Like I build trust with a good friend of mine or somebody else. Trust is not built theoretically somehow. It's spending time, getting to know the people that I know I can trust them. You know, it's even like, or if you step into, you know, driveway, or one of the biggest risks that you ever take is always step into a car of somebody else driving. You just trust that the person is okay and can drive that car. And especially with your kids. I still remember when I had to teach my kids how to drive. I'm glad it's over. But now, knowing their experience, I have no issues. I can step into their car. I don't fear one bit. Because I trust they do well. See, and that's what it is. Trust is being built. If you stand firm in faith, you have to ask where does faith come from. It doesn't come at this very moment, all of a sudden, boom, you're endowed with faith. No. You have learned that God is a faithful companion in this difficult time. And you can live with Him and go with Him through this. That you have faith in your identity and what God says over you. That you have faith in God's promises that He will never lie. That He will hold on to you even when discouragement sets in. See, and the battle then usually happens in your mind. As much as other people will come to you in your mind, there's the battleground. What you think, what you want to think, what you allow to be, what thoughts you allow. But here is where you step up and say, God, I stand against this. I stand against retaliation. I stand against getting even. I stand against all this because I know that You care for me, that You are, that You have me in My hands. Let me be courageous. Let me be loving. Let me be respectful in spite of what people may do to me. And then comes another truth, and that is not comfortable. You might get hurt. Ouch. You might get hurt. That's what Peter says. He says, then after you have suffered a little while. Oh, so a battle is never without scars. You get some punches in your gut. You get some blows that you have to deal with when you are under attack. And the Bible is not making it nice and pretty. It is hard. It is tough. It is suffering. That's what the Bible calls suffering. So when you are confronted with a bear or a cougar and you defend yourself, you will get some battle scars. And Peter speaks of temporary suffering. You will suffer some blow and punches. The battle is real. You will carry some scars. The suffering is unavoidable as a follower of Jesus Christ. And here is where you need to be very careful that this is true, that you don't start complaining that God didn't tell you so. He said, you will suffer. He said it to the disciples when they followed him. And Jesus said, you want to follow me? Well, I have nowhere to put my head. You still want to follow me? Then leave everything behind and just make me first in your life. You still want to follow me? To the rich person, then, you know, give your wealth away. Just trust me. Still want to follow me? So Jesus said, never said, oh, just follow me. Everything's going to be fine. It's going to be a walk in the park. No, he said, it's going to be tough. We will have fights. We will have challenges, and it will cost us sometimes some battle scars where it's really hurt. So that is real. And the good thing is that you don't have to pretend. If you're hurting, say so. If you're hurting, confess it. And just say, God, that hurts. That was me. That was piercing to my heart. That was a punch in my gut. God, that hurts. So it's not an unrealistic being on a cloud nine and just going through life and everything will touch me. No, it's going to be a rough walk. You will suffer a little while. But then he says, you are not left to yourself. You are not alone, even in your suffering. He says in this whole context in verse 9, he says, and knowing that other family members in the rest of the world are facing identical trials. Well, welcome to the company. You are part of those Christians who are suffering. That are suffering right now at this moment. Do you know how that there are millions of Christians right now suffering? And I'm not talking about us having COVID. That's nothing. They do suffer because their life is on the line, because they call themselves Christ followers. They sit in prisons. They are persecuted. They are tortured. Those are your brothers and sisters. And if you go and I go through a little difficult time, it's good to be reminded, wow, I'm not that special. There's other people around me in my walk with Christ that are suffering at this moment. It is a comfort. And Peter throws it to the people there in northern Turkey and says, acknowledge that other family members are suffering. See, and they didn't have social media, and they didn't have TV, and didn't have newspaper. He was the source of information because he traveled. He knew about that. And what a comfort it must have been to say, wow, we are not alone. Wow, awesome. But then the other thing that is clearly said here, God will come to your aid. He said, then after you have suffered a little while, God of all grace, who called you in the Messiah, Jesus, to the glory of his new age, will himself put you in good order. He will establish and strengthen you and set you on a firm foundation. The God of all grace will be there. It's a wonderful phrase. The God of all grace, meaning that God whose gifts are sufficient and provision is sufficient for every need and every situation, he will be there. And it is the God of grace, not of earning. Not of the one where if I'm really good, he will be good to me. A God of grace. He will hold you even if I'm a weak fighter. He will hold me even if my attempts are futile. He will hold me. He is a God of grace. He loves you completely. He is interested in your life. He is good in all things and kind. God who will show love without holding back. He is on your side. He is not criticizing you, judging you. He is with you in the battle. And then you will be safe. That's what Peter tries to tell us. The victory is guaranteed. Yes, you walk into this battle knowing you will win. Isn't that something? Well, there will be punches. There will be scars. But I will win. Not on my own, but God is with me. He says he will restore me. He will put me back to order. He will confirm me. He will give me firmness. He will strengthen me to bear the suffering, to stay in battle. And he will establish me to go back to a sure foundation. You know, that is so true. Have you been through very difficult times? Or times when you thought, wow. And or others have gone through times. They felt like, well, if that would happen to me, then I would be. And then stuff happens to you. And there is sometimes a strength in you that you cannot explain. When we have been through those times in our own life, when we had faced with tragedy, faced with difficult situations, even in ministry, I often can say when the battle was really fierce, there was a strength in me that I could not explain. It was not to explain. It still hurt. It was still troublesome. It was still hard. But there is a strength in you that holds you. And that's what Peter is referring to. God will hold you. Let's sum it up. Attacks will come in various forms from the outside. People attacking you, writing nasty emails, tweets, posts about you. They will attack your character. They will slander you. Your boss will overlook you. Gossip will happen about you. It will all happen. And unfortunately, even sometimes in church, I'm sorry, but it happens there. But there is no place on earth where you could go unless you go on an island and you're all by yourself. But then you start attacking yourself. Not helpful either. So if you are in this world, it happens. And what Peter says, stay cool. Don't start hating these people back. Don't respond to them with a spirit of revenge. But see that the devil is out there and all that he wants to do is destroy you. Destroy your faith. So resist. Resist. Flex your faith muscle. And take refuge in what God says over you. Do you hear me? Practice your faith. Trust in the truth what God says over you. When the doubt comes, when the fear comes, when discouragement comes, when disillusionment hits, and sometimes the outside attack can trigger those inside responses, or when sometimes just a mood comes over us, stay cool. Resist. Don't let these thoughts take over. But focus on what God says over you. Especially, let's say you are attacked by people outside. That's a nasty thing. Go to God and say, God, what do you say over me? And God will say, you're my beloved daughter. You're my beloved son. I love you. Wow. That gives me strength to not get sucked into this kind of bad attitude that now gets into this nitty-gritty battle. But I stay strong in my faith that God will stand by me. What if you go through those dark, cloudy times when dark clouds really assemble over you? You feel discouraged. You feel disillusioned. You have doubts. You have fear. Go to God's promises. Yeah, it might be good to get the Bible out and read them. And let them speak to you. Maybe memorizing them. Good thing to do. Memorizing them. And hold them before your eyes and say, God, this is what you say. I'm not feeling that at all. But this is what you say. This is what it means to resist. To stay strong. And then you can also stay cool. Don't let these negative thoughts take over. And in the end, Peter ends this passage with a praise and worship. Wow. Lift up your head. The victory is yours. The enemy will not overcome you. Praise God. Hey, have you done that every once in a while? Sing praise songs in the middle of difficulty and stress. Get your good music out, and if you're not good at singing yourself, then let it be played to you, and you just say, God, you are my victory. God, you are my strength. And let these songs come out of your heart. It is interesting that Paul and Silas, when they're in prison, and under a tremendous attack, sang worship songs in the middle of the night. Isn't it interesting that the people of Israel, at one point of time, when they moved into battle, put the worship band in front row and marched with the worship band playing worship songs in front row and destroyed the enemy. Friends, worship is a good way to really declare our faith and strengthen our faith muscle and say, God, you are here. I trust you. I praise you. You are good all the time and you hold me in your hand. This is wonderful sometimes to practice in those difficult times. Will you do that? Let's pray. Father, it's so, so good that as we face our lives, and sometimes it can be so messy, brutal even, and sometimes we are really under attack from mean character attacks that we have, or people slander us, or we
we're looked down upon because of whatever, or we just are, you know, rejected because we're your followers. Jesus, we want to hold on to the fact that you are our loving God and Father in whom we entrust and who will get us through this. And sometimes we go through times internally that we cannot often explain. They just come sometimes out of nowhere. And we deal with doubts and with fears, or sometimes deep anxiety will have a grip on us. God, I want us to learn how to then hold up to you and to us promises that you have given us. And last but not least, Jesus, you tell us in this text to worship you. And worship is actually a response to your goodness. It is not something that comes out of us because we have nothing better to do. It is just our response when we see who you are. God, let us not lose sight of who you are in the middle of our battle. God, I pray for those who go through difficult times at this moment right now. Whatever they may be. Some pressures that come in that will just try to destroy them and demolish them. Sometimes from the outside, from people around them, sometimes from the inside, sometimes just situations that they fear because there is so much uncertainty. Father, I pray that we do not let the devil get a hold of us, that we stand firm in our faith, that we hold on to the promises that you have given us, and that we experience your wonderful companionship as you carry us through, encourage us, strengthen us, put us back to order, and point our attention to the time that will come when we'll be with you forever outside of the battlefield. What a glorious day. So in the meantime, help us to stay strong. And as this week rolls around, and as we may face this coming week, we don't know what it holds. Let's be reminded of this, that we stay strong, that we just trust in you, and stand firm on our foundation that we have in you, Jesus Christ. We thank you, we praise you, we worship you, Father.